You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, today in chapel, we get to hear from the one and only Pastor Greg Hasselhoff. Yep. Give it up for Pastor Greg. Come on up. Pastor Greg is married to his husband to Jen, dad to Ellie, Molly, and Isaac. He has spent his whole ministry serving college students. He's been a Wesley Foundation pastor. He's served at Asbury two different times, this time in this role of university pastor and associate dean of spiritual life. What you should know about Greg is he's the slowest eater you've ever met, A. And B, he loves you so much. He prays for you. He walks with students. His heart is for you. So, Greg, we're really thankful that you're here today. Let's give him another big, warm welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Baldwin. So good to be here on a Friday morning, finishing our second week of the semester. Band, Sam, Ruby, and band, thank you so much for leading us. Christ be magnified. It's what we pray every time that we get this great gift of all of us being in Hughes together, that that's what Jesus would do in our life. So as we start this morning, I want to make sure that you know your chapel buddy. Take the next 30 seconds to make sure you know the name on your right and left and get names. And this is what I'm most looking forward to this weekend. 30 seconds, go. Okay. Wow. You guys. Shh. Oh. A teacher taught me that trick. That's so good. Y'all are loud on Friday morning. And I know it's been a little bit over 4 months since we finished last semester, but I need to give a couple quick shout outs. So first, when we finished graduation, Set Apart Retreat, Colorado. Is there a picture? There's at least part of the crew. Were you there? We were at the base of Pikes Peak for 4 days. It was beautiful. The Lord met us. It was a great retreat. Okay, second shout out to all of the team of 17 that went to Costa Rica. Yes. And I'm giving a shout out to 5 Asburyans who are from Costa Rica. That's your home. Yes, I like hearing that sound. And a shout out to anyone who has ever been to Costa Rica. I mean, we are sitting there at the Poás volcano. There's 7 active volcanoes in Costa Rica. And so we were at the top of the mountain watching steam emerge out of an active volcano. It was a pretty beautiful, incredible spot to be. I want to tell you a story this morning, and I may stretch it out a little bit. It was a month ago that I was getting ready for a plane trip to Texas, and thank you. Thank you, Haven. There's... and all my other Texas friends. We are starting the year right. And it was a Sunday night, and I got this text that came on Sunday night at 10 o'clock. My plane's leaving the next morning. Said flight for Monday morning canceled, rescheduled for Wednesday, 2 days later. If you flew anywhere around July 20th, 21st, you experienced what? A meltdown. There was like third-party vendor, computer upgrade. It went bad. And that's why I got this text. I was headed to be with 5 pastor friends. And we had been meeting every year for 27 years since we finished seminary to support and encourage each other. I spent 2 hours on Sunday night searching 3 departing airports, 2 arrival airports, and at midnight I found a flight. Allegiant Airlines. Anybody flown Allegiant before? Yes. We love bargain airlines. The flight was leaving from Louisville in 10 hours after I bought the ticket. And it was landing 7 hours later. I'm sorry, it was landing 7 hours earlier than my original flight. The friend who was supposed to pick me up in Austin had COVID. So I was staying at the airport until my other friends got there 7 hours later. And I'm actually completely content with airport time. Anybody else like that? You're just totally good with airport time. I mean, email, people watching. Austin has live music. It has great Tex-Mex. There's barbecue, and there's Amy's ice cream. Anybody had Amy's ice cream? So here's the deal. Allegiant to Austin, you land at this special terminal. It's called the South Terminal. Anybody been in the South Terminal? I see some hands. You might as well be landing at a crop dusting hangar. So at the South Terminal, you take these steps off the plane. There is no airport jetway. Then you come down, you're walking on the runway, and you get inside this building that's as small as a crop dusting hangar. So I walk in the terminal, and you immediately, like you've just taken 10 steps, you immediately have two options. And to my left, I'm exiting security. Like 50 yards away, I can see the door to the sidewalk. That's how big this building is. And then to the right is a taco truck with a patio. It's inside security. Here's the picture of the taco truck inside security at the South Terminal. So I'm staring at the taco truck to my right. I look at this security guy who's right in front of me. He's like going, dude, what are you going to do? And I look at the door to the left, and I think, I'm going to the main terminal. It's bigger. There's better food. There's more seats. I'll find this great spot to chill for 7 hours. South Terminal. There is one food option. There's hardly any seats. You can see the whole thing from where you stand. And I see everything that I had to choose from in front of me. Which one did I go for? You're really torn by this decision like I was. I got on the bus for the big terminal. 10 hour, that's how long I had to be in the airport. It was a 10 minute bus ride. We were pulling up, full bus to the terminal, and all of a sudden it hit me. I was outside security. I was not going to see a live band. There was no order in Tex-Mex, no great barbecue, and no Amy's ice cream. What's outside security at Austin's airport is kind of weird, like the rest of the city. So there were package sandwiches. There was a vending machine. There was less than 20 seats for thousands of people still not inside security. There were bunches of people that were complaining that they had been at the airport for 2 days, which I probably would have too if I was there for 2 days. It felt like I had chosen the wrong line at the grocery store. It felt like I totally regretted my choice. I felt like there was this monastic haven back at the taco truck at the South Terminal. And I chose daycare with unhappy four-year-olds who only had Uncrustables to eat for the rest of the afternoon. It's like the taco truck all of a sudden, I mean, this is getting a little elaborate in my mind, was like the narrow path and I had chose the wide road. I felt like I had missed the best kind of life on July 22nd in my 7 hours at Austin Airport. Jeremiah 6, verse 16, it says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. And you know what Jeremiah actually says next? But you said, we will not walk in it. I was like, thank you, Jeremiah. That's what I felt like I said. I wasn't going to. Jesus has come so that we may have real and better life, a better life than we ever dreamed of. I'm not preaching on John 10:10 today, but here's the questions that I want us to launch us from this morning. What does chapel have to do with you receiving real and better life? How many times a week do you find yourself making a decision like you are at the crossroads between a taco truck and a big terminal? How many times a week do you find yourself really asking a question about the ancient paths? How could your daily worship form you for the good way, to walk with a restful soul? I want us to use Philippians chapter 2 and that great passage from Paul to be the launching place and the foundation this morning. So if you will stand as we hear scripture together from Philippians 2. Starting with verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And then Paul adds this, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act to fulfill his good purpose. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You can be seated. And our first and central beginning place every time, 3 days a week that we have the gift of showing up in Hughes together, is to worship Jesus Christ as the risen Lord. Last Monday when Dr. Brown described a fully alive church that he visited, the pastor said, we're going to worship like the tomb is empty. In Philippians 2, it finishes with that kind of gravitational pull for every follower of Jesus. God elevated him to the highest place. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That every chapel that we enter is a Philippians 2:11 moment. It's a 2:11 invitation to worship like the tomb is empty, declaring Jesus' lordship across the earth, Jesus' lordship across our campus, Jesus' lordship in your heart. Sydney McLaughlin Lavrone. Anybody else a fan of her races in the Olympics? The 400-meter hurdles that she rocked. The 400-meter relay team that the USA just was so far ahead, it can bring tears to your eyes when you watch those kind of gifts come together. She is passionate in how she follows Jesus. She said, faith in Jesus means being in the Word. It means being in prayer. keeping that at the forefront and allowing that to be what centers my mind and not the outside voices. I watched her run. It would remind me of another runner from decades ago, Eric Liddell, whose story is told in Chariots of Fire, a story about someone who wouldn't compete on the Sabbath day because of his faith. And Eric Liddell said, "God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure." I'm so drawn to people like Sydney and Eric because everything they seem to do comes out of this posture of worship with their whole life. Asbury, it's 8 semesters that most of you get, 26 flex credits. You know, if you have your minimum 26 in here for 8 semesters, 208 times you will have sat right here together in worship. If you're someone that's like, I'm getting all my credits from Hughes, 32, about 256 times is what you end up with after 8 semesters. It is a huge chunk impacting how you're being shaped during your university years at Asbury. Outpouring, 16 days. It was around 350 to 370 hours of worship, of God's presence filling Hughes, of Jesus camping out with us. What do chapel and outpouring have in common? My friend Jonathan Powers, he described outpouring this way. He said, we were doing what we do every day. We have chapel at Asbury University. There's chapel at Asbury Seminary. We were doing what we do every day. Outpouring was just unhinged from time for 16 days. And so many of you still remember that. Every Asbury alumni has two things at the top of their list that they talk about 1 year, 5 years, 20 years later of what they've missed. They both start with C. I think you can fill in the blanks. Community and chapel. That is what some even say, I realized 2 years later I took it for granted and now I miss it. This is a gift of us being together. On the first day of class, Dr. Brown pointed to the four men in Daniel who chose a path to remain untainted. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they ate something different. And chapel at this Christian university is one of those markers that you've chosen a different starting place. And what you are eating is something different. And it is setting you on a different kind of journey. The central reason that we gather is for the worship of Jesus as our risen Redeemer, because he is worthy of it all. And we have a pause in our day to be captured and to have our day centered around who he is. Second, chapel exists for you to be spiritually formed into the image of Jesus. John Wesley was often described as a man of one book. The Latin is that he was homo unus libre. So chapel is this place where our theology is formed by Scripture, having the highest authority over our understanding of God. The teaching and preaching of the Bible feeds us here, and it shapes our relationship with Jesus. And in Christian higher education, we can easily use some phrases without providing enough handles. What does spiritual formation mean? Dr. Robert Mulholland, in his book, The Invitation to a Journey, He describes it in words that you can hold on to. Spiritual formation is the process of being conformed into the image of Christ for the sake of others. It is what God does to form you into the image of Jesus for the sake of the world. And Paul in Philippians 2, he says, make my joy complete by being like-minded. And this joy that is flowing out of the disciples and the apostles and this early formation of the church, Paul says, be like-minded. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Spiritual formation is mindset and attitude, becoming more like him. It's the reason this semester in Gather, as you kick off the next couple of Monday nights at 9 p.m., that we're talking about the character of God, that the mindset and the heart of God can be clearly in front of us. When Dr. Baldwin preached The Best Kind of Life last week, do you remember how the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy? The thief of distraction, the thief of disordered desires, the thief of doing what is right in our own eyes. So good, Sarah, so good. Asbury, at their very base, this world of distractions that we live in. Distractions are those things which have very little they can promise us, and they win out over that which could bring great reward. Those things which have very little that they could promise us that win out over that which could bring great reward. Distractions are when we pay attention to distortions and half-truths. When we talk about spiritual formation, we're talking about a process that comes after these distortions that have deformed us. And when those distortions are replaced with truth that reforms us, then you could say that we've been caught up in spiritual formation. And you could say that we have been more directed to the best kind of life. Instead of status makes me successful, we're captured by the person who loses their life for Jesus' sake will find it, Matthew 16. Instead of the American mantra, stuff will make me happy, we resonate with Paul, who says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Instead of difficulty means that God doesn't love me, we get shaped by words that say, consider it pure joy whenever we face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance finishes its good work to mature us and complete us, James chapter 1. And this space, this injection in our week is for spiritual formation, for reforming the mind and transforming our hearts. The chapel frames are these handles for how we can be changed through worship, that our mind would be more like Christ, that our heart would long for more of God's holy presence in who we are. And the last two chapel frames are hands that choose to serve, and kingdom community that is exemplified by radical hospitality. And chapel becomes this launching place where we are both set apart and we're sent as ambassadors of Jesus. Philippians 2, the words there in verse 6, being in very nature God, Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, by taking the very nature of a servant, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. Last April, when we took off the day after graduation on Set Apart Retreat, over 50 people, I think we were on the bus at 3:30 a.m. And not long after that, we were in Chicago Midway Airport. And we were on our way to Colorado Springs. We had a five-hour layover, so there was a little bit of napping going on. We were kind of trying to find like enough seats for 50-plus Asburians. And we started hearing on the airport speakers on this Sunday morning, Evangelical Christian Worship Service in the airport chapel. Has anybody ever been in an airport chapel? I mean, you kind of have to almost like stumble into the airport chapel. There were probably four or five more times in the next 45 minutes that this announcement came on the airport speakers. And all of a sudden, it wasn't like it was coordinated, but about 35 of us were just like walking down the terminal, headed to the airport chapel. And this is the picture of us like filling up Midway Airport Chapel. There were probably 10 others there that weren't from Asbury. And you could say that the pastor, he was excited, wasn't he, you guys? He preached a great sermon in a 25-minute worship service in Midway Airport. There were prayer requests, and like our team shared some prayer requests, and there were probably two or three others in the other group that shared prayer requests. And Eli Baker and I and Kyle Wood, we stood and talked to the pastor after chapel. And he had followed the Asbury outpouring, so he starts asking us questions about outpouring. And then he told us, while we're sitting in this great conversation, he said, I've been the chaplain at Midway Airport for 10 years. We have never had this many people in worship. Never had this many people on a Sunday morning in worship. 35 Asburians at Chicago Midway Airport on a Sunday morning, because you men and women know what it means to live set apart, to live as ambassadors, to live like you've ate something different. You've been formed differently and shaped differently. And we're walking out of here to be light in a world that is desperate to see light, that is desperate to see an authentic expression of a Jesus follower, to see what Jesus would look like if he were walking today. This is who we are. Chapel gives you three invitations. Every time that you walk in here, to worship like the tomb is empty, to be spiritually formed like Jesus for the sake of others, for the sake of the world, and to be set apart as ambassadors for very good news. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your great, incredible love for us. And thank you for the gift of this community. Jesus, would you daily awaken us more to the gift of this community? And Jesus, as we are a worshiping people, we pray that you would shape us more like yourself and form us and set us apart, Lord, to be men and women who are your ambassadors. Come, Holy Spirit, do that work in us today. Do that work in us this semester. Lord, do that work in us to call us to yourself and send us into the world. We ask in Jesus together. Amen.